5 o'clock hour Eastern time. Welcome back to the second half of our show. We have I've already had the University of Arizona president on. We will talk to John Adams a little bit later on. College football heads to D.C. They're already there. We had the president on from there. He, the University of Arizona, hosting a summit tomorrow. And the SEC coaches are there as well. Tommy Tuberville calls college football's rules, college sports' rules, a disaster. He and Joe Manchin are trying to get something done. Tuberville will be a popular man tonight among the SEC coaches, saying, had you get out of this business and go into a worse one, will be the question many will be asking him. Let's check out some more phone calls here at 855-242-7285. And Joe is up next in Georgia. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, Paul? You doing all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling.
I was just calling about your little Twitter and whatever question there. See that there's quite a few, you know, teams that people think are the best choice there. What is your thoughts on it?
So the question was about.
Sorry. Your the Twitter most talented right single. There,
I think I would look across. At the Miami team from, what was it, 01, somewhere in there? LSU in 19. I'm thinking the 2020 Bama team might be in that conversation. 21 they Georgia had, team was pretty amazing, too, mainly from a defensive standpoint. Yeah. But I mean, I want to go way back, but I just don't think you can go too far back if you're being honest with yourself. So the Nebraska team in 71 was pretty amazing as well with Johnny Rogers. But I would probably land somewhere between Miami and LSU.
Yeah, that 2005 Texas looks pretty decent.
Yeah, that Southern Cal team that Texas 02. Beat might have been. And yeah, what's interesting is, most of the last until I came here, I was mainly covering a lot of Alabama. Alabama has had some of its most talented teams did not win the title. I think it was it 2016 or 2018? I can't remember which one it was. 18. It's not always. It takes one bad game for talent. I mean, I think we'll look back at this Alabama team from last year and go, how in the world, I'm talking about deep into the history books, how did they not win with Bryce Young and Will Anderson? Those questions get a little bit easier to ask once you get away from some of the deficiencies on the team.
Right. And, that 2001 and 2002 Georgia team, pretty good. You can't deny that.
No.
It's good just to be able to put everything out there and kind of see it a little bit, come across there with no real input from anyone. It's interesting.
Thank you very much for the call. Great question there, Joe. Appreciate it. Let's check out Common Sense up next.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good. Great to talk to you. There was a couple things I wanted to say. Your gentleman called back a little earlier talking about the North and people from the North, and the way he said it, the disrespectful way that he said it was, it was probably maybe unlearned way, because it's like he has never been there. I've never been to a lot of places, but I've looked at books and seen pictures and stuff, and you can dream if places, if you think and open your mind, you can dream of good things about everywhere around the world. And I went to Chicago one time, and I still reminisce about how great it was there. And like I say, I'm from Louisiana and never had been there, but there's a lot of great places. And just to give him a little thought, there's a gentleman that has a travel TV show, and his montage, or whatever he wants to call it, it says, travel is detrimental to prejudice and narrow-mindedness. And you can travel physically, or you can travel through books or other ways, and you can find good things about a lot of people. So that's just to pass on to him you know, about that. But
and common sense, I'm glad you said that. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody by joking about people. If you're from the South, but it's a difference that what the guy that said earlier that was referring to, he wasn't joking. The very first part of his sentence had to do with he's from the North, as if nothing else mattered after that. And that's what got me. I joke about callers from Ohio and New York sometimes just for fun.
Sure. Look, my football team is LSU, and I can't stand Ohio State. But it's not because I don't like the people. It's because it's a competition between teams. That's what it's all about. You know, it's not about hating anyone or just disliking anyone. But I just call it kind of funny that he said that, because I've always tried to be, you know, fair with everybody. Listen to other people's side of view, and you'll learn a lot of things rather than closing your mouth. Just close your mouth and open your ears sometimes, and you'll learn a lot more about yourself also. But you know, I wanted to say something too about the NIL. The NIL is going to have a cap and some type of pro rating. I can't answer everything that, but it's just my opinion. And they need to get both sides to understand that you go to college to start your life and not to end your career. You know, and that's what they need to think about when they go into this. These kids can't go to college and say, you know what, I'm leaving high school, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to make $1 million, and I'll be rich for the rest of my life. Well, these kids are fooled, because nobody has sat down with them and say, look, guys, you got to learn a lot before you earn money. You know, and that's one of the biggest things they got to teach these kids.
Very well said. Thank you for the call. Excellent stuff. Let us continue on. And Julian is up next in Florida. Hello, Julian.
Hi. A day or so ago, you were talking about the main rivalries in the SEC. And I just wanted to promote Florida and LSU as one of the really important rivalries, I think. I'm a Florida fan, but at the end of the season, I always go for LSU. And I think that if you look back maybe to the days when Spurrier was at Florida, that's been a real important game for both of those teams. And with Florida, and even now with Georgia making its recent powerhouse run, we have to beat LSU before Georgia really becomes very important.
And, I can remember those games, especially when Tebow was at Florida. Were that was probably the game of the year for about two or three years in the SEC, the Florida-LSU game. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Augie is up next, speaking of LSU.
Paul, I disagree with him. There are some teams I don't like, and I don't like their fans even more. But, you know, that's all part of the game, right? That's what makes it fun. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who do not like LSU fans. Wouldn't you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
But what's interesting,
sometimes fans don't like other fan bases because of certain people, Augie.
Yeah, well, I don't know who you're talking about, but I ran into some people once, and they said, yeah, we don't like going to LSU games. Somebody threw beer on us. I'm like, well, what do you expect when you go to an LSU game, right? It's like going to a Tennessee game and expecting not to get hit with golf balls or water bottles, right? So everybody's got their, you know, good points and bad points. But, Paul, you were talking about doctors, and you had a Clemson dentist, right?
Right.
You know when you really need to run out of the room? When you go to your proctologist and he tells you he went to Clemson.
Yeah.
You need to make a beeline out of there.
I make sure that does not happen.
Yeah. So I was gone for a while and missed all the hoopla over the 8 versus 9 games and the SEC taking a beating. And you were a prominent fixture in your comments on the SEC schedule. So when we say that your opinion matters, Paul, everybody looks to you to give the SEC version of events. But I did catch earlier in the show, and I'm not going to get into this whole thing with you and Brando and whether it's good or bad or just all for publicity, but
Hey, Augie, let me clarify quickly. I have no deal with Brando, so make sure you understand that.
No.
But I don't go tweeting at other talk show hosts. That's not in my DNA.
Well, that's a jab at Brando because he does tweet. So, I don't know. I think you guys need to make up and kiss, and I'll offer my services as mediator. But you being the subject of news, which you've been throughout at least the last, 15, 20 years, it seems like you enjoy it, but you act like you don't. What do you really, when you're in the spotlight for you being you and your opinion, how does that make you feel as a celebrity as you are?
Well, Augie, I like it a lot less than I used to because, you know, when it first happened, it was fun. And anyone who says they don't pay attention to what people say about them are not being honest. But it's become very toxic. And what's particularly frustrating is you'll say something and the context completely changes. And the next thing you know, you're being called by colleagues, people you respect, and saying, why did you say that about this? And you know this. You can't explain it because it doesn't matter what the truth is.
But isn't that more of a commentary on your colleagues who should realize that what is being
Yeah, but
put
it doesn't work
there?
That way. I mean, I've had people tell me at 1 o'clock, hey, listen, don't worry about this. It doesn't matter. And at 1:30, they're calling me in going, well, you know, we got a problem here. There's a lot of Twitter reaction to what you said.
Exactly. And so the whole business of social media, I mean, there's a positive side and there's a negative side, just like anything, just like any medication. There are cures and there are adverse reactions.
But I think you have to also understand when you're in my position. This happened to me. I'll tell you a quick story. I was on ESPN Sunday morning the night after the Les Miles situation when he got one of his situations. And the host.
Yeah, which one was that?
Yeah, I really don't remember, but it was when they tried to fire him and didn't. And Hannah Storm asked me on SportsCenter, you know, what do you make out of all this? No, I said, I think they're trying to fire the wrong person, Hannah. I said, the person that needs to be fired at LSU is Joe Aleva, the athletic director. And I kind of laughed it off. I thought it was funny until SportsCenter tweeted that out. And then the next thing you know, I'm getting calls from my bosses going, why did you call for Joe Aleva's firing? I couldn't very well say I didn't do it because I did.
But totally out of context.
But I didn't go
anyway,
into
Paul,
it. But I really didn't go into it planning. It's one thing if I say I have an opinion here. I think the guy. It was just a reaction. And those are the ones that get you in trouble. And I'm not blaming the media. Anybody that wants to quote me is welcome to it. We're up against a break, so you can't quote me for at least 5 minutes or however long it takes to do this and come back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
John Adams coming up shortly. Squirrel is up next.
What is it, Paul, when you know somebody famous who knows somebody famous? Is that 1 degree of separation or is that 2 degrees?
I think it's only one. I like that. That's you're close.
Not counting you, I'm friends with someone, I think, 1 degree of separation from Timmy B. who's blocked me on Twitter, by the way. But
it's Coral, do not feel like you're an elite company, okay?
Him and Ogeron, I'm chalking up a hit list here. And I heard Jim playing the Guess Who Called Me game earlier. Guess Who Called Me Friday night at 10 o'clock.
Who called you? I'm guessing Jim.
Correct. I didn't take the call, but I did. He called back Saturday morning. I did call. We had a nice conversation. He appreciated my call Friday, and I'll just leave it at that. But Jim's back number one leg humper. I mean, you know, he had lost his spot a few months ago he got it back a few months ago. He had lost it for maybe 6 months or a year to Legend. I mean, I got to give it up to Legend. I got to be honest. But I think he's solidly back in
I think Legend has had a very erratic month.
Yeah, a couple months now. And speaking of Legend, how is culinary school going? Do you have any more updates?
No, I mean, Legend told us the other day he's going to culinary school.
I didn't know if he... that's what I said. I didn't know if he's called back since.
I mean, he doesn't call often. Maybe he's knee deep in pots and pans.
What do they teach? I mean, I guess he's like teaching how to cut up onions and things of that nature. I don't know, because most people should know how to cook by the time they're 60. But like I said, when he does go to work for Waffle House, have you ever had their hash browns? I know you haven't, because you've never had hash browns in your life.
No, I have. In fact, I was at a Waffle House about a year ago, and I did have some. I used to eat them a lot, and they were still pretty good.
but
Squirrel, help me with this. This has been almost a year. I still feel the grease in the pit of my stomach.
Man, that's good stuff. You need to get back on it. But when Legend comes back on, tell him I like my hash browns scattered, smothered, peppered, and chopped. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you very much. Quiet day in the show. We've had Jim and Squirrel and Jeff in Ohio.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, how are you?
Yeah, it's always good to hear Squirrel, especially when he rattles Legend's cage about going to culinary school / Waffle House grill cook. But, hey, Paul, I mean, yesterday we had the breaking news of the LIV-PGA merger, and I think the more breaking news today is the Paul Feinbaum show showing love to the North and the Northern callers. I mean, I'm so used to getting shot down for being a Yankee. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I felt compelled, and I thought of you because you're really the main North of the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, you said it one
person
time
I take shots
recently
at.
I'm the most hated guy in the history of the show.
Yes, you are.
I mean, where's the reversal today? I mean, I'm feeling love and love today.
Well, I just did not like when your buddy, first of all, you can't criticize Sankey on the show. I mean, he should know that.
That's the goal. Right there's the golden rule.
That's not really a debatable issue here.
Right. I mean, that's what the bat phone's about that got referenced last week, too. You cut on Sankey, the bat phone rings, doesn't it?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Or your ankles get a padlock put on them if you can't get away from your desk.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already wearing an ankle bracelet.
Oh, I know. I know Sankey's got you on an ankle bracelet.
Yeah, I said I thought the SEC, I said it very, very calmly. I thought the SEC should go to 9 games, and they—I mean, before I left Destin, I got an ankle bracelet slapped on my right ankle.
No, I have no doubt about it. But yeah, I had to call in when all this love. Like I said, I thought yesterday's breaking merger was big news, but this one shocked me more than anything. Hey, Paul, did you see the report that some players are banding together to boycott for that EA Sports video game?
Yes, I did see that, and I think whether it has a lot of merit or not, I think we're going to see much more of that.
I told you 3 months ago, Paul, nobody in the media, your boys in the media that you all hobnobbed with last week, Not one of them is talking about, and I predict it's either going to happen this offseason or most likely next offseason when the new TV deals get struck, and these guys are also the longer season. I'm predicting a boycott because these guys aren't going to want to play 16 games and not get paid for it. And I just see it coming, and nobody's talking about it.
Well, we are here, and we will continue. I think it's a legitimate conversation up against the break. John Adams around the corner, and we are back right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
It's from John Adams in the New Sentinel in Knoxville, imagining what Tennessee's football schedule could look like. We are literally 1 week and 2 hours away from that reveal, so let's ask John what we are going to learn, or what he's at least imagining what we are going to learn. John, always great to have you on. Thank you very, very much for hopping on board. So what are you hearing? What are you thinking? And what do you want? Good afternoon.
Thanks, Paul. I figure what's going to happen is that they will postpone this next week. I mean, isn't that the way you do it? I mean, it's still playing the old four corners offense in basketball. Let's just run some clock. So I don't count on that happening next week. We're talking about the stopgap measure, the 2024. It'll be just a one-year deal maybe. So you can start from scratch. When I was looking at Tennessee's, you know, Paul, the main thing I want out of all of this, expansion is everything, are more good games. And I think that's how fans feel about it. They just want more good competitive games. So if I were doing Tennessee's schedule, I would keep Georgia, Alabama on it, probably add Oklahoma and Texas, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Florida. Still have an affinity for the old SEC East, I guess.
I'm as interested, John, in not what we see next Wednesday night, but what we don't see. And, you know, everyone's ninth game that gets trimmed down, I'm not sure it's going to be as big a deal as we think it will, because do you or do you not agree that the SEC folks need a blockbuster night? They've taken a lot of heat, and we don't want to see, you know, one or two good games for every school. We want to see multiple, like you just laid out.
Yeah, that would be my hope. And it's just, I've always been in favor of nine games. I'd actually prefer 10 games. I like watching SEC football, a lot of great rivalries. Even schools who don't play that often have great rivalries. So I knew the SEC would take hits. Another way it could have done this, and I'm ignoring the financial factor, which is which kind of puts me out there on the in a bad place right away. But
in terms of credibility, because money, everything is driven by money, of course. But when you could have supposed for the one-year deal, an experimental deal, you'd have just gone to a nine-game schedule and had three other opponents like that could be your permanent rivals. Just do it one time. Instead of having a 7-1 model as your experimental package, why not do a nine-game schedule? And then you could see how you're treated in the college football playoff selection, and if that hurts you or helps you. I really think if it's a close call, I think going to just keeping eight games will hurt the SEC. I think it's an image thing, a perception, and I think there's a natural backlash against the SEC anyway, since it's a premier conference. But I think if it came down to a tiebreaker and one conference had played a nine conference games and another, the SEC, had played only eight, that could work against the SEC.
John, you and I, throughout our lives and careers, have always looked at that Alabama-Tennessee game. It's sacrosanct. I realize Auburn and Alabama is important. Other games have become critical. But we had a guest on the other day that said he's heard. Now, listen, I don't know where anybody hears this stuff because I haven't heard. that Alabama-Tennessee may get slashed. I'm not sure I'm prepared for that. What are you sensing on that Alabama-Tennessee rivalry?
So you're talking about the
what we see next
2024
yeah.
Schedule? Wow. I just can't imagine that. I know Nick Saban probably doesn't want to play Auburn and LSU and Tennessee every year.
No.
But that's a relatively new development. It was a pretty good time playing Tennessee for all those years when Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt were the coaches.
Yeah, he liked it.
And, Josh Heupel changed that. To fans, I wrote a few years ago that Tennessee would be better off not, this is under the old alignment with the divisional play, that Tennessee is at a disadvantage, a natural disadvantage, by having Alabama as its permanent opponent. And the reaction was overwhelmingly against. I don't think anybody agreed that you should not have that rivalry. And the main reaction from Tennessee fans was, well, this goes in cycles. We'll be back on top later on. Now, it's hard to foresee that with Nick Saban in charge of Alabama football and some of the stumble bums that Tennessee has had. But it's different now. It just means so much. I don't know if it means as much to Alabama fans, but I think it means so much to Tennessee fans, and I think Tennessee fans are look forward to going to Tuscaloosa next year and having a shot at beating Alabama at Bryant Denny Stadium.
John, if you walked downtown in Knoxville and grabbed 15 of your closest friends and bought them a beer and said, okay, let's rank the games that matter most on Tennessee's dance card, how would it go?
Well, I think you're going to start with Alabama. And I think Georgia, though it's only a permanent rivalry because it was in the SEC East, but Georgia, that matters now because Georgia is so good. It's a two-time defending national champion. And I think next season that will be the game that Tennessee fans are looking forward to. I know they will be an underdog, but they beat Alabama in that situation last season, and I think Tennessee fans would like getting a shot at Georgia. I mean, that's a border rivalry.
I understand, but Florida has been that game for really the last 30 years since we went to division. Is that game, I know how important it was last year to get over that hump, but is that game lessened in importance now?
I think it has, Paul. that rivalry really peaked in the 90s when Philip Fulmer was at Tennessee and Steve Spurrier was managing a dynasty at Florida, and those teams were competing. They were both often in the top 10 in the 90s. Each program won a national championship. And yeah, it's an important rivalry, but Tennessee hasn't been good until Josh Heupel took charge, and Florida hasn't flourished either. It did under Urban Meyer, but since Urban Meyer left, Florida's not at the top of its game. I don't think Tennessee fans would miss Florida that much. I really don't. I think you would expect, as your program gets better, you want to beat the better programs, and Tennessee fans would love to beat Georgia.
Wow. And I know Vanderbilt always matters the most, doesn't it, too?
Well, I mean, you want Vanderbilt, certainly, because that's the W. And, you know, it's an advantage. If you go to a 7-1 format and Tennessee's permanent opponent is Vanderbilt, that's an advantage. And no matter what scheduling format you go to, Paul, Tennessee, I don't think, will be hurt. Its chances probably will be enhanced because it's playing Georgia and Alabama every year now under the divisional format. So how much harder can it get if you're aspiring to win a championship to go through those two programs?
John Adams on the upcoming release. We're a week away from it, John. Something tells me we'll be talking a lot about this conversation. Very interesting to hear what folks on Rocky Top are saying. John, thank you. Appreciate it as always. We head to the break. We will spend some time with the phones in just a moment. Stick around.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, this isn't the Capitol. It's about to start. Elizabeth Crisp. That looks like it's going to be some luminary. I don't know who will be in the captain's chairs there. I'm assuming Greg Sankey. And we'll know pretty soon. It's all about to happen. We've already talked to the Arizona. I mean, as we told you a couple hours ago when we talked to the Arizona president, there are two things going on there, and they're all merging tonight. At the United States Capitol, you have the NIL summit by the University of Arizona. We had the president, Dr. Robbins, on about an hour and a half ago. His event tonight and mostly tomorrow will include Greg Sankey, Jim Phillips from the ACC. You'll have the president of the NCAA in attendance. Tonight, you have all the coaches and the administrators from the SEC. Tomorrow morning, they will branch out for individual meetings with various congressional people. Ross Dellinger writing today that Nick Saban will meet with Steve Scalise, the leading Republican in the House from Louisiana, outside, of course, the Speaker. Others will, Tuberville, I'm sure, will entertain a group of people. You'll probably see Mitch McConnell with the Kentucky delegation and others, and it will be quite a show both tonight and tomorrow. We'll have more to say about that later. Right now, Todd is up next in Shelby, Alabama.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy? I ain't talked to you in a while. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, you think they're going to accomplish something in Washington, D.C.?
I don't want to prejudge it, but no.
Yeah, I ain't seen them fix nothing, but I did hear this. I heard that Legend will be catering a dinner for y'all up there, and y'all will be having ass scratch booger burgers. Hey, but I'm tickled to death to see him wanting to do something different. But look, Paul, in this business, you got to know there's going to be folks that like you, love you, and there's going to be people that just, they have hate, Paul. We ought to know this. When Trump went in office, I cannot believe folks hated that man to death, but God tells us this. But anyway, I just wanted to say that. I was just being funny about Legend. Y'all have a good day, Paul. Thank you.
Todd, thank you. I appreciate it. We'll be sharing whatever we can discern, at least tonight, from we have a number of the people from the Missouri delegation right there, Desiree Francois there, the athletic director, in the middle. So it's Coach Gates. Saw him last week down in at the SEC meetings. Yeah, the volleyball coaches. Well, you'll be if you follow a lot of SEC people, this will be a constant theme. And there's nothing. I mean, the conversations with the people are valuable, but there's nothing more important than that picture. I saw a couple of years ago. I was up there visiting some people, and before you even sit down when you're visiting a congressional person, these were senators. The aide comes in and gets the picture, and while you're up there not telling anybody what you're doing, and while you're in the meeting, which can last a long time, you're not checking. I mean, when you're talking to a United States senator, you're not checking your phone every 5 seconds like a teenager. So I was meeting with a very senior U.S. senator, hadn't told a soul. I thought, yeah, it's what you don't tell. I get out of there. As soon as I check my phone, about an hour and 15 minutes later, I'm getting blown up. Hey, how come you didn't call me? Friends of mine in Washington, D.C., they immediately tweeted out. I mean, they don't. I mean, that's the most important. I mean, picture, if you don't have your picture made with the delegation, then what's the purpose of being there? Hopefully some good things will come out of this. We're cautiously optimistic. I mentioned to AC the other day that I had sent him a note thanking him for the things that he sent our staff, and today I got the note back, and it was the return to sender was in French. AC, you're obviously no longer at that address. That's my summation from all of this.
Yes, sir. I don't know why you are sending me things. I told you, cannot reach me, man. Didn't I tell you that? Are you even reading what I'm telling you? Maybe not.
No, all I did, you sent something for our staff, and I did what I was taught at an early age. I wrote you a note thanking you, and it went someplace where they speak French, and they sent it back to me, and it's now at the bottom of a garbage can about 20 yards to my right.
Favor, light him up. Light up that French garbage they gave you. You know what I'm saying? You could have said, hey, AC, on air. Hey, AC, thank you. I appreciate that. That's all. It's that simple. Why?
Well, I did that. Man. It was sent back to me. That's all I'm trying to say. Let's move on.
No, I understand. You could have told me on air. Thank you very much. That's all. It should have taken no more than 30 seconds. Hey, but I appreciate that. I appreciate you more. Appreciate me. But Jim got in touch with Brando. You know, I am happy that you do not have Team Brando and the skinny little sore loser named Jim Sheridan. Because Jim likes them. Likes them. That should burn up Jim from Tuscaloosa. But I'm so happy you have my boy, Mike, Griffin of the Dog Nation. I love me some Mike Griffin. Not every single day, Mr. Feinbaum. Jim doesn't like him. Jeff doesn't like him. That's why I like him. Because they don't like them either. Well, they hate. This is who AC
does
loves.
His phone, does his phone have a place where you could, a speaker or a microphone? Oh, okay.
Everything on for you, Mr. Feinbaum. Guess what, Jim? About you.
Is he using one of the new Apple devices for $3,500 to make this phone call?
Is that Wi-Fi?
The Vision Pro.
Mr. Mr. Feinbaum. You know, I want Legend to call every single day. I want Jim to get chaotic. You know what I'm saying? Jim, it's not Legend is after you. It's also AC. Don't worry about the husband, AJ. He may not even call in because AJ's too scared of you. And guess what? AJ's scared of Legend. AJ should be scared of me because Mr. Feinbaum and I, we're running this station. So, AJ, if you want to come, call me. You have Legend beating out Jim, and he's going to smash you too. And guess what? I have enough lawyers to help out Legend. Unless he wants to be a legend, or he couldn't be a sore loser. But Mr. Feinbaum, I love you. I love you. I love you more than Team Brando. Holla.
I mean, everybody needs something. Some people lean on coffee, soft drinks. I lean on that every day. That end of the call gets me to the next hour.